And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have learned so far from Psalm 23, David has been talking about what God is to him. And we see in verse 3 that he speaks of what God does for him. David is encouraged, no doubt about it, he's encouraged and lifted up by the presence of the Good Shepherd in his life. His soul has been restored to follow the right path. That path may be beside the still waters, or it may be beside the green pastures, but God was leading him and feeding him. And we notice in Psalm 23 a personal possession. There's a plentiful provision. We see God leads us to a precise place. There's a perfect pathway. And now we find in this wonderful verse, in verse number 4, there is a present protection. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." As we move into verse number 4 of our study here, this psalm strikes for us a different note. You see, David has spent the last 3 verses speaking about what he has experienced. He has experienced God's guidance. God had led him and fed him, and David had experienced the restoration of God in his life. But yet, as we come to verse 4, David steps into the unknown. He talks about an event that could come to pass. This is a situation that looms over the horizon, but he didn't know when. He didn't know when this event would occur. And yet, he's still walking down the pathway of his life. He's still on that right path, or that path of righteousness. And yet, he's aware that one day a dark cloud would cover over his life or overshadow him. And in that very moment, David is saying, "I will fear no evil." He spent most of his time speaking of pleasant things. But this isn't quite a pleasant thing he's talking about. You know, there's a teaching out there among Christians that would promise pleasant pastures forever. And the idea is that if you're a Christian, that if you're not wealthy or healthy, then you're not right with God. And that is never promised in the Bible. There are wonderful, pleasant things in the Christian life. There's no doubt about it. It's a wonderful blessing to be a child of God. But the tune of the Christian song also has low notes as well. And sometimes God brings us to wit's end corner. Sometimes we're led to places we don't understand. And David understood it. If we could turn to the book of Psalm 88 and notice what David had to say about this event in his life. His own son is trying to kill him, and he's running as a fugitive from his own kingdom. And David writes in Psalm 88 in verse number 6. He says, Psalm 88, verse 6, "Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee." The book of Psalms are filled with low moments of life. And yet it's important to note that in verse number 4, that David has stopped talking about the shepherd. And now we notice verse 4 of Psalm 23, that now David is talking to the shepherd. "He leads me, he restores me, he feeds me, I shall not want." And yet in the dark moments of my life, David is saying to the shepherd, you are with me. And if God is with David, then he is also with us. I want us to notice some thoughts from this wonderful psalm in verse 4. If you're taking notes with me, following along with the message, would you write number one there, the valley. The valley. It is called the valley of the shadow of death. You know, it's interesting that David came to popularity in a valley where he faced off against Goliath. By definition, a valley is located between two hills. The psalm highlights some high points in David's life at the beginning of the psalm when David is indeed claiming the Lord as his shepherd, speaking of his salvation, speaking of the relationship that he had with God. And at the very end of his life, when he dwells in the house of the Lord, no doubt these are high points in David's life, but yet in between there's this valley. And this is what David is talking about, between blessings here and glory beyond. Runs a valley of the shadow of death. As a shepherd in the rugged terrain of Judah, David understood the dangers to the sheep in the valley. George Adam Smith, an experienced traveler of the Holy Lands, wrote these words. He said, on the boundless eastern pasture, so different from the meadows, narrow meadows and diked hillsides, with which we are familiar, the shepherd is indispensable. He writes, I do not remember ever to have seen in the east a flock of sheep without a shepherd. In such a landscape as Judea, where a day's pasture is thinly scattered over unfenced tract of country, covered with delusive paths, still frequent by wild beasts, the rolling off into the desert, the man and his character, the shepherd, are indispensable. And it is at these times the skill and the care of the shepherd is absolutely vital. The shadow of death, the phrase, the shadow of death, it appears 20 times in the Old Testament. And the idea is the darkest valley of our life. But what makes this valley so difficult? Well, David understood it. He said the problem with this valley is the constant threat of death. Death is always present as we travel through life's way. The Apostle Paul understood this in 2 Corinthians 1 in verse 9. He said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Paul's pathway in life was filled constantly with the threat of death. And this valley is overshadowed with the reality. And though we push it from our minds, and though our consciousness don't want to think about it, this valley is overshadowed with the reality that one day we're going to die. One day we're going to go to a funeral and we're not going to be the guest. And David understood this valley, this shadow of death. I want us to notice, first of all, letter A in our notes, the danger of death. Sometimes death comes very close to us. And maybe it was the death of a loved one that caught you by surprise, that has placed a shadow over your pathway. Or maybe this shadow of death is connected with your health or with your well-being. As we walk in this valley, death is always a threat. It's always present. It's always there. It's always there to remind us. But why? Why is death in this valley? Well, the answer is because of the condition of the human heart. We see letter B, the development of death. I want you to turn with me, if we could, to Hebrews chapter 2. In our Bibles, Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, the writer gives us reasons why Christ had to die on the cross. In Hebrews chapter 2, there are three specific reasons why Jesus had to die. And I'm going to note those for you. First of all, it is his identification with humanity. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, verses 10 to 13, that it became him. And the thought here that Jesus in his humanity, he became the captain of our salvation. He was perfect through his suffering. As a man, Jesus suffered and tasted death for every man. His identification with humanity, the writer of Hebrews teaches us. But also it is because Jesus, he became our high priest. The Bible says in verses 16 to 18 that he was made like his brethren, speaking of the incarnation, that God robed himself in flesh, 100% God, 100% man. And the Bible says he was made like his brethren so that he could be a faithful and a merciful high priest. Listen, Jesus suffered and died, and he understands the shadow of death. He understands the difficulties of life, and he is a compassionate Savior that can relate to us. The Bible says that he died so he could be our high priest, but also thirdly, to destroy the power and the fear of death. Look what the Bible says in verse 14. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Jesus became a man that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When did death come into the world? Well, death was introduced by Satan himself. That's why the Bible says that Satan has the power of death. It was Satan that deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden, and Eve gave the fruit to Adam, and Adam chose to sin against God, and sin always brings death. Romans 5 verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Because sin has passed to every individual under Adam, we all die. We're all sinners. And if someone says to you, "Well, I'm not a sinner," then all you have to do to prove it is not die. Because we are sinners, we will die. Sin has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Death has passed to all men, and the reign of sin brings death. Romans chapter 5, verse 21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says the reign of sin brings death. And death brings fear, and fear brings bondage. The reality is, as sinners, we are minus God in this world. And if we have minus God in our life, it means we also have minus God in our death. And if we have minus God in our death, it means we also have minus God in our eternity. And that's why Jesus came. The Bible says that Jesus came to put the end of the work of the devil through grace, adding himself back into our life, putting himself back into the equation, adding himself to our life and our death and our eternity. And we notice the deliverance over death. Let us see. Jesus came to deliver us, not only from sin, which gives death its sting, but also deliverance from the fear of death and hope for the future, a shepherd to lead us through death. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, death has no more sting because Jesus has taken the stinger. He has overcome sin by paying our sin debt on the cross, and we can be forgiven today. We can become a child of God. Death comes between us and our joy in this life, and death stalks us continually, and the prospect of experiencing its effects is terrifying, and yet Jesus came to give us hope. Our Savior abolished death and brought immortality to light through the gospel. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. And it is the light of the resurrection that makes death just a shadow. Just a shadow. The shadow of a sword cannot harm you. And the shadow of death cannot destroy us. But we not only notice this valley of death, I want us to think about number two, the victory. The victory. So here David writes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I walk through the valley of life with the threat of death always upon me. What does David say? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David is thinking about walking that valley. And there comes a time in all of our hearts and lives that we must face this dark moment of our life. And the picture that David is presenting here is someone walking through a shadow, the light on the other end. And David realized that he would walk through the shadow of death, but one day he would enter into an eternal light, and he would leave the world behind, and he would be in the house of God forever. And it's a wonderful time of departure. I mean, let's be honest, anyone would choose heaven over hell, but God's people would choose heaven over earth. To walk into the presence of God, Paul says, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better to be with the Lord. Walking through the valley, though unpleasant, on the other side of the shadow is a wonderful victory. And in Psalm 23, verse 4, this speaks more than just death, but it's speaking of leading to higher ground. It's speaking of not just death, but the troubles and trials of our life that are in our life, that God allows in our life to excel us, to get us to another plane, to help us in our relationship with the shepherd. And David realizes that though I go through the shadow of death, there's an important truth. That first of all, letter A, that we have peace. We have peace. David said, I will fear no evil. You know, evil is all around us. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, you cannot escape the presence of evil. And by the way, that's why Jesus died. He died to save us from an evil world. The Bible says in Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And that's why Jesus died. And what a blessing to know that we have a shepherd that sits on the Father's right hand, that we are in Christ. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, that as a Christian, being born again, our sins are washed away. We are right with God, in right standing with God. And we have no worry to fear the evil around us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In the very darkest moment, we notice the peace that David had in his life. As I walk through this valley, the shadow of death, because of death there is sin. Sin brings death, and yet I will fear no evil. Our sins are atoned for. Our sins are washed away, and we have this peace in our heart. But notice also, David says here that we have his presence. I love what he says in Psalm 23, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. We don't have to walk the valley alone. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, verse 1, and now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He is with us. And this is what it means to be saved. This is what it means to be a Christian. The shepherd is with us. In Mark 4, there's a wonderful story of Jesus with his disciples. And the Bible says that Jesus had sent away the multitude and they boarded a ship with his disciples. And in verse 36 of Mark 4, the Bible says, and there were other little ships as well. And there came this great storm upon all of them. It means that as Christians, we go through the same trials and troubles as those who are in the world. But the difference is, though we have the same shadow, the difference is that Jesus is aboard our ship. And Jesus was with the disciples. And friend, I'm here to tell you, if you know the Lord, that he's also with you. Through the great fearful experience, God's loving arms encircles us, and his grace embraces us, and his presence comforts us. And there's no greater words. There's no greater words that Jesus could say to us in that exact moment as we go through the valley, as we go through the dark moments of our life. There's no greater words, greater comforting words than the shepherd saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I'm there. When I was younger, I slipped and fell on a stone. I slipped and fell carrying a stone. And when I did that, that stone fell on my wrist. And there was a piece of glass under there that I didn't know. And when I lifted up my hand, there was a giant gash in my wrist. And the doctor, I remember going to my dad taking me to the doctor. And the whole time, I was saying to my dad, I don't want stitches, I don't want stitches, I don't want stitches. And so he went and talked to the doctor and he came back and said, you're getting stitches. But I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, you don't have to worry though, because I'm going to be with you. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. And that's what David is saying to us. Yeah, there's an evil world out there. There's a wicked world out there. But David said, I don't have to fear any evil because through the valley, the Lord is with me. And he will help me and guide me. And as our shepherd, the Lord is with us today. As we're walking down this pathway of life, as we're on the right path, led by the shepherd is leading me and feeding me. But there comes a time when the shadow of death overcircles us and covers us. And David said, I don't have to be afraid because evil cannot harm me. I am in the hand of the shepherd. And he is with me. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 4. in verse number 16. The Apostle Paul is writing here to his son Timothy, his spiritual son Timothy. And he says in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, at my first answer, no man stood with me. That's a terrible commentary for Paul's life. The greatest missionary outside of the Lord Jesus is all alone in the Roman jail cell. He said, no one was with me. Everyone had forsaken me. I was all alone. No one called me. He said, no one emailed me. No one said, Paul, I'm praying for you. No one sent me a note and said, hey, I'm thinking about you, Paul. He says, I am all alone. But I love what the Bible says in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You see, Paul wasn't alone. Because as Paul was in that Roman jail cell, the Lord was right there beside him, encouraging him, comforting him. God stood with me, Paul said. And what a blessing to know that the Lord is with us today. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he said this about verse 4. He said, there are going to be some valleys in life for all of us. The good shepherd himself assured us that in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He writes, I have overcome the world. The basic question is not whether we will have many or few valleys. It is not whether these valleys are dark or merely dim with shadows. The question then is, how will we react to them? How will we go through them? How do we cope with the calamities that come our way? With Christ, we can face them calmly. With His gracious Spirit to guide us, we can face them fearlessly. And this is what David understood. He said, the Lord is with me, and He's guiding me, and He is with me along the way. And when the shadow of death comes to me, I will fear no evil because the shepherd is right beside me and he's guiding me. I want you to notice, if I could, number 3, the vigilance. The vigilance. We notice the valley, the victory, and then thirdly, the vigilance. Look what the Bible says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The sheep are journeying through life, and the shepherd is leading them. We've established the fact that the Lord, our shepherd, is guiding us, and we are ultimately in his care, and he is watching us the whole way. He knows when we're coming into a cloud. He knows when we're entering the darkest moments of our life. And he's there with us. And even times in David's life, and if you read through the Psalms, there are many, there were times in David's life that he had come to a place that he just didn't understand why he was there. I mean, I don't understand, God. You told me I'm going to be the next king, so why am I running for my life? Why is my own son trying to kill me? Why is the men of Israel trying to kill me? This, I don't understand. Lord, are you there? Does the shepherd still care? Is the shepherd still watching over me? And yet at those moments in David's life when he could not directly see the hand of God, he always trusted the heart of God to know that he was a loving shepherd that cared about him. Job said this in Job 23, verse 3. He said, oh, that I knew that I might find him. Job came to a point in his life where he said, I don't know where God is. I don't understand all these things that are happening to me. Job didn't have the same commentary that we have today. He didn't know that the devil was before God and God threw out his name. He didn't understand that. And he's saying, Lord, where are you? I cannot find you. I cannot see you in this. But that's okay. Because in Job 23, verse 10, he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. You see, in order for us to be safe as sheep, it's not as much as the sheep knowing where the shepherd is. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that the shepherd know where the sheep are. And the Bible teaches us that the shepherd is vigilant. He's watching his sheep, Jesus as the good shepherd, with his staff in his hand. He's guiding us and he's protecting us. He's always present. He's always there. And we're going through life. And yes, there are times of the threat of death that come upon us, but he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there with staff in his hand, with rod in his hand, and he's guiding us and he's leading us and he's protecting us. The staff for the shepherd was used to rescue lost sheep. They would take that staff and they would pick up a sheep from a hole or from the ditch and rescue that sheep. And the rod was just a club and it was used to fight away the enemy. And you can see this wonderful picture of here is David going through this valley. And there are times in the darkest moments of his life where it overshadows him. But yet he says, I'm not going to fear any evil, Lord, because I know you're right there. And even when I can't see you, I know you're right there. And you're protecting me and you're guiding me and you're leading me with your staff in your hand and the rod in your hand. And you're always there. There's a present protection in my life. And I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. David found great comfort in this. He says, I am comforted with the guiding hand and the overwatching God in our lives. Aren't you glad today that when you can't see God at work, you have the promise in the Bible that he is still there? And that should comfort you. It should comfort you to know that in the darkest moments of your life that you can find comfort knowing that it is indeed the shepherd that's guiding you. It is the shepherd indeed that is leading you. I love the story of Moses. Moses had some problems, that's for sure, but God used him in an incredible way. And as he leads the children of Israel out of bondage, they come to the Red Sea. And I don't personally believe the Red Sea is a picture of heaven. But I love that he took that rod that God gave him and he drove it into the Red Sea and the waters opened up and those people walked on dry land. And one day, I don't know when and I don't know where, but I'm going to come to the end of my journey in this valley. And the threat of death will overtake me. And the shepherd will come with that staff in his hand that he's walked with me the whole way, the whole journey. He's vigilant, protecting me and guarding me. And he's going to come and he's going to drive that staff into that river. And I'm going to walk across. And I'm going to get to the other side. And I'm going to cross that shadow of death into light immortality because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord, my shepherd, David said. He leads me even through the very shadow of death. He is protecting me the whole way until I get to the other side. What a wonderful blessing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to take a moment this morning and reflect on what we